Good evening. We will continue today our series, Psalms, Tehillim. If you remember last week, we finished chapter 35 and 36. Don't forget, we have 150 to go. I mean, all together. Well, we did already 36, so we have another 114 to go. Hopefully we'll be able to do more than two today, I hope. We'll see how it goes. We are in the summary of this Mizmor of 37. If you remember, last week we finished the last Mizmor. The last chapter is don't bring to me the steps, the footsteps of the wicked people, the proud people. You know, and he's basically begging Hashem to save him from all the wicked people who are chasing him and running after him. This Mizmor, it's full of warnings. Warnings, words of ethics, words of wisdom to a person that when he sees that the wicked people are succeeding, it makes him feel weak. It's a natural reaction. When a person sees that wicked people succeed, he begins to feel, I'm trying so hard to be righteous. I'm giving up all kinds of desires that I may have. I trust Hashem. I pray. I count on Him. And in the end, look at these wicked people. They do nothing. They don't pray. They're not honest. They don't keep Shabbat. They're not good. They're not, according to the Torah, they're not good. And it comes easy to them. And I'm struggling to make a little living, a little parnassah, with all the prayers and all the counting on Hashem. And in the end, look what I see in front of my eyes. What happened to a person naturally? It makes him weak. Spiritually, it makes him weak. So this Mizmor is a warning not to fall into that trap. Because it's a trap of the Satan to make the righteous people lose also. Because if a person doesn't trust Hashem, that in the end he's going to get an endless reward, as he promised in the Torah, that's a very serious problem in his righteousness. If you're righteous, you have to trust me 100%, and you have to be patient. The waiting will be count. All great things takes time to get. Easy things, things that comes easy, doesn't have a real value. Something that it's hard to get, or not only that it's hard, it takes time to get, that's, like they say, it was worthwhile to wait. It was worth it. And that's what the word of the Navi, of the prophet, that he says in the Tanakh, Af al pi shitma'amea, when he speaks about Mashiach, he says, Af al pi shitma'amea hakelo. Even though the Mashiach is delayed, and it takes longer and longer. Wait for him. Don't give up. Because he will show up in the end. And when he show up, you'll smile for eternity. But until then, you just have to have patience and wait until Hashem will decide to do it. So now we're not talking about Mashiach here, but this is just an example. Here we are talking about a person that has to be very careful when he sees the success of the wicked people. He has to always remember that it's only a temporary success. And actually that success, it's a moment before the eternal destruction. Because Hashem has to pay them for the little good that they did in their lifetime. Because even the most wicked person in the world, he does some good. He can't say everything he ever did was bad. Some of the things he does is good. So for those few things that he does good from time to time, where exactly Hashem will pay him? A share to the world to come, he doesn't have. His soul doesn't have entrance to the place where the righteous people go. So therefore, when he dies, only punishments he's going to get. One after the other, for as long as it takes until he gets clean from all the sins he made. So there's no place for him to receive his reward. Now, since this person evaluate and appreciate this world so much, this materialistic world is so important for him, and he wants to succeed here so much, and he steal, and he cheat, and he lies, and he fights, and he's arrogant, and he does all kinds of bad things just to be successful here, like they say in America, I use some elbows. You know, so if that's what he's wishing for, if that's what's important for him, that's how Hashem pays him. You see, if a person comes to you and you want to give him, I don't know, you owe him $500. You're about to give him $500. And he say to him, to you, no, don't pay me with $500. I want you to give me this sweater that you wear, sweater worth $20. And he said to him, what do you mean? I have to give you $500 I owe you. He said, no, instead of the $500, I like your sweater. You give it to me. Now, you know the sweater worth $20, but you're offering him what he deserves. He doesn't want. He wants that. So you give him the sweater, it's better for you. You don't have to pay him so much. Same thing over here. When a person comes to Hashem and shows him that really the most important thing in his life is sport, television, movies, you know, vacation, jet ski, nice car, beautiful chandelier. That's the things he likes. This is what he gives his life for. That's what he kills himself so much for in a business and running. So Hashem pays him in the way he appreciates. If he would give him Torah, he doesn't appreciate anyway. If he gives him a kid that wants to be religious, he will hate it. What will he evaluate besides nonsense? So Hashem pays him with nonsense. Why? Because for him, this nonsense is everything in his life. And it's also easy to pay him to get rid of him, because in this world, it's all temporary. Whatever payment you get, it's anyway temporary. Since you have no share to the world to come, it's all measure for measure. Whatever I just told you, you can find it clearly in the Torah, in the chapter Vayetchanan. When Moshe begged Hashem to enter Israel, 515 prayers, Parashat Va'etchanan, last three verses, finish by Hashem saying, I am the zealous God, pay my lovers that keep my mitzvot for 1,000 generations. And we all know we only live one generation, so obviously we're talking here a long, long, long reward. And pay the wicked cash to their face to get rid of them. And then he repeats, I will not delay the reward of the wicked people. I will pay them cash to get rid of them. To get rid of them when? They don't die young. Some of them make it to 100 even, to 90. Well, what does it mean to get rid of them? The answer, to get rid of them for the life of eternity, which they will not be there. And then you have to just try to imagine the pain and the sorrow of all these people that will get it in front of Hashem when they die, and they will find out that they lost their eternity. And when they find out why they lost their eternity, they'll go even crazier. There's one thing you may say to yourself, you know what, at least I had this world, I enjoy, I did. When he looks at his life, almost everybody would say, you know what? My life was nothing special. Yeah, I made money. Yeah, I did this and I did that. But really, I had a lot of pain, lots of disappointments, lots of aggravation. You know, some people went to jail, some people divorced a few times, people have problems with their children. This kid is a drug addict, the other one is divorced 5 times. Problems, you know, all kinds of problems with the partner, problem with the police, problem with the FBI, problem with the competition, problem with the in-laws, problem with these, you know, so many problems the secular people have. It's not that their life is paradise, full of problems. No matter who you were trying to choose from them, you'll find out if you really examine his life, depression, alcohol, drugs, again depression, rehab, tattoos, cheating, heartache, you know, all kinds of things like that. And in the end, they come and say, Mister, since you chose this lifestyle, you don't have a share to the world to come, now you're going to start paying for all your crimes. He's going to say, what? What do you mean? What life did I have that I lost? I didn't have anything special. He said, that's what you chose. That means that's important for you. That's what you wanted. You wanted clothing. You wanted vacation, you wanted sport, you gave your life for it. For that I paid you. You made some good mitzvot in your life, few of them, not a lot. I gave you a special you own the team. Well, how many people own a team? You have your millions of dollars, you bought yourself a team. You got Anel, you had a pretty wife, you had a nice home. This is what you wanted. I paid you, I owe you nothing. But the righteous people, God forbid that that's gonna be their payment, because this life, it's like a blink of the eye. It's not even nothing compared to the next world. To lose the next world for such a foolish reward, you understand? So, obviously, if you have a diamond that's worth $100 million, and somebody give you a lollipop, and he say, here, give me the diamond, take lollipop. If you agree, what does it show about you? You're a total idiot. There's no other word to describe you if you agree to such a deal. Now you smile and you laugh at the fool that agreed to replace a $100 million diamond with a lollipop. Some of us is worse, because $100 million is nothing compared to the next world. We may give up the next world by driving to Macy's on Shabbat. That's even worse than a lollipop. At least lollipop you enjoy. What do you do over there, wasting half of your day? What do you do in Shabbat? What is these people who break Shabbat? What is it for? To drive to 7-Eleven to get coffee? To go to the beach, to sit and look at the beach? You can have done it on a different day. Why did I have to do it to be now? I'm just saying, if you're so anxious, you did it on Sunday, you can do it on Sunday. What justification a person has to break Shabbat? 99% of the time, none. The only time a person has a test, I agree, if he has a booming business and makes fortune, and usually Shabbat is one of the strongest days of the week, if not the greatest, then I understand why he has a dilemma. Now he has to learn that Hashem is the one that gives the money, not the business. Once he understands that, that's really no test. The test is over before it started. If he doesn't understand that, all his life he eats his heart. Look what I'm losing, look what I'm giving up. But that's obviously ignorance. So this Mizmor, chapter 37, full of warnings, words of encouragement to the righteous never to be weak when he sees the temporary success of the wicked people. The opposite, he should feel bad for them, because he knows based on the Torah where they're heading. Why are you jealous with him? You have to look at him and feel very bad for you, very sorry for you, you know? And, you know, obviously, if you can do anything to save them from their destiny, obviously, you have to do the best you can. Also, acharit ha-tzadikim bracha ve-shalom, the end of the righteous is blessing and peace. And this, in the next Mizmorim, we find lots of words that come from the book of Proverbs. You know, King Solomon, very similar words, like ra'iti rasha aritz, you know, ezrach ra'anan, all kinds of words like that that are similar. Let's see a little bit, before we start explaining word by word, what commentaries were said about this Mizmor. Every time the Mizmor starts le David, to David, right? Usually, all the previous Mizmorim that we read was Mizmor le David. Here, it doesn't start Mizmor le David, it starts le David, right away. What does it mean, le David? It means, the Zohar says, the Kabbalah, the Zohar says, every time you say le David, it means the Holy Spirit spoke from his mouth. Ruach HaKodesh, like a prophecy, speak from his mouth. Al titchare b'mereim, don't compete with the wicked, evil people, shegormim la'acherim lachtot, that cause others to make sins. Why? Because their end would be that they will be dry like the straw in a field. And there's nothing to be jealous with them. The opposite, a person has to enjoy, to have a pleasure, to have a pleasure of litaneg, the pleasure by being attached to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it says also, Hashem will give you bedin, in judgment, what you deserve, what you request. Od me'at ve'en rasha, briefly, soon, before you realize this wicked people will be gone, right? So it says, "Kol ma shezomemim ha-reshaim," every plan that the wicked people has, "le'azik la-tzadikim," to damage the righteous people, "so fam she'iplu ba-malkodet shel atzmam," their end would be that Hashem will turn it around, that the trap that they prepared for the righteous people, they themselves will end falling in it, measure for measure. So, tov me'at la tzadik, very little in this world, it's enough for the tzadik. It doesn't need big mansions. It doesn't need a $500,000 car. It doesn't need a $50,000 watch. Anyway, these things don't make him happy. Total burning of the money, waste of time. He needs nice, decent clothes to wear, and that's it. He's not addicted to buy every week a new suit, shoes, one or two pairs. It's enough, but he doesn't need more than that. Car, a decent car that drives him around, doesn't get stuck on the road, regardless of the shape and made and all, it's all nonsense in his eyes. The real righteous people don't care about these things, right? House, if he needs big house, he needs big house, he brings guests, he has a lot of kids, it's a different story. But to make it like a museum, like some of the people do and burn years of their life, every little detail in their homes, that's a stupid addiction. It's burning of money, burning of time, and it's not helping in any way. None of this will help the soul getting closer to Hashem. On the contrary, it actually makes a person too busy with this phony world and makes him away from Hashem. One way or the other, tov me'at la tzadik, very little is good for the tzadik. So it's not that he's missing anything. When you see a tzadik that has a simple car and an ordinary home, and ordinary clothes, and a simple watch. You, as a very wealthy, wicked person, look at him and feel, poor guy. God, thank God I'm not like him. Look what I have, look what he has. Not even 1% than me. That's how the wicked thinks about the poor. But really, the poor doesn't feel anything missing. You feel that he's missing based on your standard and your nonsense. But he doesn't feel it. The big rabbis, do you think they care that the kitchen is from 60 years ago? Rav Steinman, Rav Kanievsky, they beg them 100 times to fix, to renovate. They refuse. I don't know what you want. It doesn't bother me. Why it bothers you that my cabinets are from 60 years ago? It still have the forks inside. What else do I need? It doesn't help me if it's going to be made in Italy, imported, beautiful. What's the point? But a person that is missing spiritually, is empty, is looking to fulfill himself with something. What is that something? Buying, shopping, building, doing, you know, beauty, looking for the beauty of the temporary world. But that's a mistake. And sometimes this mistake can be very costful. So it says, right here it says, tov me'at la tzadik. Very little, it's enough for the tzadik. They're satisfied. Nothing, they don't need anything. Me'amon reshaim rabim. And the wicked, no matter how much they have, they feel empty. Not enough. Right? Better the little that the righteous person has, then all what the wicked people has combined. Because what they have, no matter how much you add together what they have, take all the trillions of dollars that they have, the wicked people, it won't be equal to 1 minute of heaven of one righteous person. So what's the comparison? What's the comparison? Right? So therefore, you know, this mizmor is coming to wake us, the people who wants to be righteous, the people who are righteous already, to be careful not to be jealous with them and not ever to feel weak because they get what they have easy. It's not that they earned it. It's a payment to get rid of them for eternity. It's you, what you earn is waiting for you for eternity. What are you complaining? Your account is getting fully loaded. Again, another wire and another wire and another wire every day, waiting for you for eternity. Much better. Eternity or 10, 20 years, which is a blink of the eye of pleasure. So let's literally explain the words here. It says, LeDavid al titchar b'mere'im. This is a song that David wrote. Do not compete with evil people who do bad. Al tekane be'ose avla. Do not be jealous with people who do wicked acts. Ki kechatzir mehera imalu. They will be dry faster than you can think of, like the straw. Uchayerek deshe ibolun. They'll be like the vegetables who are rotten. They get rotten. Eventually, if you don't pick them up, eventually they're rotten. Betach be'ashev v'asetov. Trust Hashem and continue to do good. Shchon eretz ure'e emunah. Shchon eretz, you're gonna be exist in the land, ure'e emunah, and make your parnasa in honest way. Don't make any mistake. Continue to be honest, be straight, be okay. Ve'itanag al Hashem, and you should have pleasure by being close to Hashem, spiritual pleasure. Don't replace the spiritual pleasure and the pleasure of the Torah and the mitzvot with the pleasure that they're running after. V'yiten lecha mish'alot libecha. And Hashem will give you the request of your heart. Gol al Hashem darkecha. Count on Hashem in every one of your need. Uvetach alav ve'hu yaseh. And trust Hashem, and He will fulfill your requests and your needs. Ve'otzi ka'or tzidkecha u'mishpatecha ka'tzohoraim. Thank you. So Hashem will show the whole world your righteousness, just like the sun comes out in the afternoon. You know, in the sun, the strongest time of the day that the sun is boiling, it's around 12. 12 noon, one, around that time, in the middle of the day. So it says, your righteousness will be shining like the sun at noon, which means the strongest shine. It just couldn't be better. Dom le'Hashem v'itcholelo. Dom is be silent, be quiet, don't talk too much, don't complain, don't be jealous. Dom le'Hashem v'itcholelo. Itcholel comes from the word meyachel, hoping, hoping. Just be quiet, have patience, sit still and wait for the salvation of Hashem. Al titchar b'matzliach darko. Do not compete with a person that succeeds in his way. Be'ish ose mezimot. And a person that is deceiving and is tricking. Heref me'af ve'azov chema. Enough with your anger. Enough with your frustration. Don't go into anger. Don't go into frustration. Leave them alone. And before you realize they'll be gone for eternity. Don't eat your heart for nothing. Al titchar ach leharea. Don't try to compete with someone so evil and negative that all he wants is to do bad. Ki mere'im ikaretun, because all these evil people will be destroyed. Ve'kove Hashem hem ha'irshu aretz. The wicked people will be destroyed, and those who count on Hashem will inherit the land of eternity. Ve'od me'at ve'en rasha. And soon, before you realize, there's no more wicked. Before you realize, they'll be gone. V'itbonanta al mekomo ve'enenu. And you look at this place. Where is he? Gone. Where is he? He's gone. V'anavim irshu aretz. And the humble people will inherit the land of Hashem, meaning the next world. V'itangu al rov shalom. And they will have the pleasure on lots of peace, peace of mind. They'll have in the next world, when a person is together with Hashem, he will have an amazing peace of mind. Zomem rasha la tzadik. The wicked is setting a trap for the righteous. Vechorek alav shinav. and his teeth are grinding. Grinding like the fox is waiting for the chickens. He's hiding as soon as they come out. And in the meantime, until the chicken comes near, he's grinding his teeth, can't even wait until he bites them. This is how the wicked people hate the righteous. It's a rule in the world. It could be from jealousy. It could be that they're allergic to the right way because they live in the opposite way. It could be many different reasons. But the point here, that the same way he set a trap for the righteous people, Hashem is chaklo, and Hashem is laughing, watching this whole scenario. Hashem is laughing. Ki ra'a ki avo yomo, because Hashem already see what's his hand gonna be. He's looking how he's trying so hard to make the tzaddik lose, to make all kinds of lies about him, to make himself look right. But in the meantime, Hashem is smiling, saying, if you only knew where you're gonna be soon, you wouldn't bother so much with all your plans, right? Cherev patchu reshaim, the wicked people pull their sword out, umatchu kashtam, the bone and arrow, they stretch very, very hard, right? Le'apil ani ve'evyon, to trap the weak and the person that needs support. Litvuach yishre darech, and to kill those who follow the right path of Hashem. So what's going to be? It says, charbam tavo belibam, the sword will turn against their own heart, and kashtotam, and the arrows, and the bone and arrow will be broken. Tov me'at la'tzadik, very little, it's enough for the righteous person. He doesn't need more than that. And if he doesn't have more than that, he's okay, he's not suffering. Me'amon reshaim rabim, for more than all the wealth of all the wicked combined. Why? Because he's gonna get his reward for eternity. And all this plenty of money, how long this world is. It's temporary and it's over. It's not even a comparison. Kizro'ot reshaim tishabarna, the arms of the wicked people will be broken, v'somech tzadikim Hashem, and Hashem will support the righteous people who trusted him. Yodea Hashem yemei tmimim, Hashem knows the days of the complete righteous people, v'nachalatam le'olam tiyeh, and the reward will be for eternity. Here, in the Tanakh. How do you know this life of eternity? Right here. V'nachalatam le'olam. Le'olam means forever. You're never going to stop. The righteous people, when they will get their place in heaven and the next world, it will never have an end to it. Every pleasure in this world, it's on and off. It's 5 minutes, it's 10 minutes, even an hour. That's it. It's over. Eventually, even if the pleasure is long, you get tired of it because it's physical. Yeah. After a while, you don't enjoy from it. You eat the best food. First bite, you love it. You enjoy so much. Second, still. Third, 10, 20, 50. After 50, okay, big deal, steak. But after a while, every day the same thing, you vomit. You can't look at that. No, please change. No, you love it. You say that it's the greatest food you ever ate. You're going to eat it every minute of your life. No, please, enough. I'm begging you, please take $100. Don't give me this steak. What changed? Hashem wanted you to know every material pleasure is fake. Fake does not remain for eternity. The truth stands for eternity. Emet in Hebrew, Aleph Mem Taf. Aleph stands on two legs. Mem stands on two legs, and Taf stands on two legs. To show you that the truth is solid, has two legs, is standing still. Sheker, the word lie, stands on one leg. Shin stands on one leg, the point. Kuf stands on one leg, and Resh stands on one leg. Why? They're shaking. How long a person can stay on one leg? It's temporary. Eventually, he gets tired, he falls. Right? So the point is, to show you, also the truth is very, very long, from the beginning of time to the end of time. which is eternity. There's no end of time. Aleph is the first letter, finish with Taf, which is the last letter. But Sheker, it's three letters attached, back to back. Emet is always in the right order. Aleph, Mem, it's the middle one, and Taf is the last one. Sheker should have been Keresh, Kuf Reshin, but it mixed. Why? The people that live according to this Sheker, to the lie, they themselves confuse. Every day they have a different truth. One day college, next day business, next day sport, next day drugs, next day Prozac, next day Navy. Every day something new. Why? They're empty. There's nothing new. This car, 2 months later, he gives it back to the dealer, give me another car. He just lost $15,000 on a trade. Doesn't care. He needs the 1 week new excitement. Life is so horrible and boring. This new car, Rabbi, you smell it? Smell the great leather. I love the smell of a new car. No, that's what you want your reward to be. You understand? That's the way the world is. You understand? So it says, Hashem is preparing the eternal nachala, the eternal place for the righteous people, le'olam tiye, that will remain forever. Lo yevoshu be'et ra'a, they will not be embarrassed in a time of tragedy. Everybody will be embarrassed, because then everybody knows who was righteous and who is wicked when Mashiach come. But they will have nothing to be embarrassed about. When Mashiach come, I know I'm good. Let me go and welcome him. But all the wicked people, where do you think they're going to hide? They'll look for a place to hide, right? Why? When there will be starvation in the world and problems, what will happen to them? They will be full. They'll not be missing anything. The wicked people, as we said, will be destroyed. Which means the enemies of Hashem will be like the light of the clouds. When you begin to see the cloud, when the sun is rising in the morning, you know, anemogim. What happened? As soon as the sun becomes stronger and stronger, what happens to those clouds? You don't see them anymore. It becomes a sunny day. It evaporates the clouds. That's how the wicked people will be disappeared. Like the sun makes the clouds disappear. That's how those wicked people will be disappeared. Lovei rasha velo yishalem. A wicked person has a habit. He likes to borrow, but he never likes to pay back. Right? Give me, lend me. I promise you, I pay you back. He owes here and he owes there. He takes from him and gives to him. He never gives back. He only takes. Right? And people, after a while, they give up. How long we can run after him? What are you going to do? You're going to kill him? That's it. They give up. They get tired. And that's how he goes to the next one. But he doesn't know that Hashem is recording everything.
That's and what they do on the 47th Street.
Yeah?
That's what they do on 47th Street.
They do it everywhere, not only on 47th Street. Unfortunately, they do it everywhere. You see a lot of businesses, every 3 months, they change the sign. You know what it means. Every time you see a business change the name, but you see the same owners over there, that means that they just stop paying all the creditors, they open a new corporation, they change the name of the owner, or maybe even they keep the same name of the owner, and they stop paying the creditors, and they open a new corporation. Now, you cannot do anything. He comes to you and says, the other corporation went bankrupt, I'm sorry. But it's you. No, I was only working there. That's not really me. You look at me, but it's really not me. I look like the other guy. What is he going to do? You know, in America, it's actually supported by the law, the laws of Sodom. Don't you hear on 1010 News? Hurry up! The laws of bankruptcies are about to be changed. 5 years they're already screaming it. When exactly it's going to be changed? The laws of bankruptcies are about to be changed. Take advantage right now before it will be too late. For bankruptcy, call attorney such and such. You understand why? Come, they will teach you how to trick your creditors. But you don't have to pay and they cannot touch you. And it's on the news to encourage the crooks. In case the crook didn't have the courage to do it, Here comes the lawyer, Ba Orev etzel Azarzir. Here comes the lawyer and gave him the little push that he needed, and together the two crooks gonna hit families and children and take away the bread from their mouth. And they replaced the sign and smiled to the customers. Why did you change the sign, Mr. X? I didn't like the other name. Yes, you know, this is the Olam HaSheker. Lover Rasha ve'lo yishalem. The wicked borrow but doesn't pay his debt. Ve'tzadik chonen ve'noten. And on the other hand, the righteous people, they give even for free. Not only they don't take and don't pay back, they give from themselves. That's a sign of righteousness, generosity. Ki mevorachav yirshu aretz. Those who are blessed from Hashem will inherit the next world. Umekulalav yekaretu. And those who are cursed by him will be cut off for eternity. Me'Hashem mitzadei gaver konanu. From Hashem, the direction of a person in life comes. He gives you the right direction. He pushes you a few times in your life to the right direction. But if you choose to go against, what can he do? He can't do the job for you. Vedarko yechpatz. And Hashem is interested that the person will go in his path, not in a fake path. Ki yipol lo yutal, if a tzaddik will fall, he will not remain too long on the floor. The help is on the way, relax. Hashem doesn't leave the faithful tzaddikim. Ki Hashem somech yado, Hashem will support you, don't worry. Na ra'iti gam zakanti, ve'lo ra'iti tzaddik ne'ezav ve'zaron v'kesh lachem. I was a teenager, today I'm an old man, and I never saw one righteous person that neglected by Hashem and his children were starving to bread. I didn't see. Poor, I saw. People who don't have too much, I saw. But to die from no bread, it didn't happen. So it's very interesting. Kol hayom chonenu malve vezaro levracha. Not only, even if they don't have a lot, they give and they're generous and people come to their homes. And from the tiny salary they get from the yeshiva, somehow the house is full. It's interesting how it's possible. Sur merav ha'aseh tov, you want to do tshuva, first you have to stop with the bed. That's the right order. You stop the sins immediately. Now you begin to learn how to do mitzvot. But first stop the sin. Stop stealing, stop lashon hara. Stop instigating between people. Stop dressing the way you dress. Stop violating Shabbat. Stop stealing. Stop, you know, eating non-kosher. Stop with these things. Immediately. Not slowly, slowly, Rabbi. The sins, the restriction, immediately to stop. Now you begin to build yourself. Tefillin, then tefillah, then mincha and arvit. You're growing. Little by little, you're adding. But to stop immediately the sins. There's no permission from the minute you found the truth to hesitate and to delay yourself from stopping with the sins. The sins, you don't stop slowly, slowly. You stop immediately, as hard as it is. If you fall, you fall. But you must accept on yourself, I stop all the sins. What are the sins I'm doing? And the rabbi tells you, you violate Shabbat, no more. What else? You eat not kosher, no more. What else? You steal, no more. I'll give everything back. What else? Restriction. It goes one by one. Many of the restrictions in the Torah doesn't apply today. You don't have certain things, you don't have Bet HaMikdash, fine. But the ones that applied, you have to be careful. The one that applied, you have to stop the restrictions, the sins immediately. Then it says, "Sur merav ve'aseh tov, go from bad and do good." Ushchon leolam, that, and you will remain to exist for eternity. You will exist for eternity. Do you understand? If somebody asks you, how you never died, I wish I can live forever, right? How many people say it? I wish we could live forever. I wish we could live forever. There is actually a way to live forever. What is it? Here is this verse. Psalms 37, verse 27. What does it say? Sur mera, move away from the bed. Aseh tov, do good. Ushchon leolam, and you will live forever. Ki Hashem ohev mishpat, because Hashem loves honesty, judgment. Ve'lo yazov et chasidav leolam. He will never leave his followers for eternity. Leolam nishmaru. They will remain and they will be guard for eternity. Ve'zera reshaim michrat. And the descendants of the wicked gets cut off. Nothing will be left from them. Look at the reformed people in the world. 200 years ago, they started the reform movement. Millions of Jews went and became reformed, meaning do nothing, only sins and crimes against Hashem. How many of them left in the world? Almost nobody. All their children married a goyim and disappeared from Judaism and lost their share to the world to come. Not one of them, almost not one of them. It's very, very, very rare to find a reformed family that survived more than two generations. The father became reformed. Maybe the son stayed Jewish. The grandson is already a goy. Guarantee. Technically, they should have been right now 20, 30 million reformed Jews in the world. But they all disappeared. There's few of them here and there. There you have reformed Jews. Beautiful temples they built, $20, $30 million. They never have 10 people there, no minyan. Yom Kippur, some of them come with a car, with their goyim wives, they all come. If you have 500 people over there, 300 of them goyim. For them, it's like a church, same thing, no difference. This is the end of these reforms, and later the conservatives follows them. The conservatives about 10, 15 years after them, trailing. It's not as bad, but in 15 years, the conservative will be what the reforms are today. That's really the statistic. So nothing will be left from them, nothing. The only way to keep your children Jewish is to be a strict Orthodox Jew. And it's still no guarantee. It's still a 5% chance that, God forbid, something can go wrong. What would you do if one day your religious kid will drop the Torah and go to live in Manhattan and 2-3 years later meet Christine and tell you, Abba, don't worry, I'll convert her by the rabbi from the moon. He'll convert her, $10,000, and tomorrow she'll be Miriam. Don't worry, Abba, everything will be fine. No, what are you going to do? That's it, your descendants is also cut. But the good news is that usually Orthodox people have many kids. If one or two of them become wicked, the other ones will maintain the genealogy. But by the reforms, nobody stayed Jewish. One, two, three generations, the most, it's already a miracle if they survive three. They all become goyim. And that's the truth. It's disturbing. I hate to speak about it. I hate very much to speak about it. But the truth must be yelled. Maybe some reforms would open up their eyes right now when they hear it. And they say, it's right, that will be my end if I'll be like that. I better become Baal Tshuva. Maybe I can save something, especially the young ones, that their children are still young. Can move them right away to a good yeshiva. Before they will all be goyim. So this is what it says here. It says, Zera Reshaim Nichrat, the descendants of the wicked people gets cut. That's it, nothing left from them. Tzadikim Irshu Haaretz, the righteous people will inherit the land, meaning the next world. Veishkenu la'ad alea, and they would be there forever, for eternity. Three times in this chapter, he speaks about Olam Haba, the next world that the soul will remain and enjoy forever. How much the wicked people lose from being wicked, if they only knew, or kill themselves from stupidity. So what did I gain? What did I lose? What a horrible choice. What am I gaining? What, the religious people don't drive Lexus and Mercedes and Bentley? Here, yesterday I had my lecture, a Baal Tshuva, driver a Rolls Royce Bentley. I keep Shabbat already. Puts tefillin, do things that he never heard back in where he grew up. And he did Tshuva, continue to enjoy life. Before he ate non-kosher sushi, now he eat kosher sushi, just as good. Before he ate non-kosher meat, now he eats kosher meat. He wears the same nice suit, he drives the same car, he still has his beautiful home. What really changed in the life of the religious person? That he pray a little bit and talk to Hashem? That on Shabbat he has more time for his family to sit with some friends and enjoy and eat and sing and learn and sleep a little bit and take a walk in a park? Well, what really is, what are they so afraid of? What I really don't understand. What, you're afraid that you're going to stop being a thief? Well, because you think you get away with that. But if you knew that everything you steal, Uncle Sam is filming you, you would run to give it back. Excuse me, Mr. FBI, I made a mistake. I don't know what went to me. I became crazy. I just woke up one day from my dream and I realized I have $5 million. I don't know how it got to me. I want to give it all back. Why? Because you just found out they've been filming you. They're waiting to put you for 50 years in prison. But if you run and give it back, now they don't have a case. I just pay back everything. Maybe they have a small case against you. Most prosecutors won't even take it to trial. If you went on your own and pay it all back, the case is dead. So if a person that steals right now says, Rabbi, I want to be religious, but how am I going to make parnassah? All my business is crooks. And I'm stealing and cheating and lying and deceiving. But my friend, all this that you think that you're making, it's not yours. You're going to have to pay it back, double, and still get punished. So what are you so happy about? It's all an illusion. You think that it's yours, but eventually you're going to have to pay it back. If not now, in your next life, you'll be a slave of someone. What do you think there are people who suffer so much financially in this world? Many of them is because of their previous life, what they used to do to others. Now Hashem sent them back to feel what they did to others. All measure for measure. So it says like this. The mouth of the righteous person, only wisdom comes out of it. His words are honest and straight. Torat Elohav belibo, the Torah of his God in his heart. Lotim ada shurav, it will never make his steps failing. It will never have a trap. Sofer Hashal Tzadik umvakesh lahamito. He repeats this sentence again. The wicked person is planning a trap to the righteous and looking how he can bring him down. Hashem lo yazvenu beyado. Hashem will not leave him in his hand. Lo yarshienu beishafto. And he won't let the righteous, innocent person be found guilty in the time of trial. Because he's innocent. Why should he be found guilty? Kavel Hashem ushmor darko, hopes, aim your hopes to Hashem only. Keep his way, ve'yeromemcha la'reshet aretz, and he would lift you up to inherit the land. Four times, la'reshet aretz, you will inherit your place in the next world. Ve'ikaret reshaim tireh, you will see the end of all these wicked people that made you problems. You will see their end. Have patience. Don't go and compete against them. Don't fight them. Don't go in court and kill yourself with them. Don't waste your time. Just count on me. Everybody will get what they deserve. Just have patience. When I'll take care of them, it's much better when Judge Williams will give them a little fine or 6 months in prison. Leave them to me. Don't do anything. I'll take care of all these wicked people. You will get to see on your way to life of eternity. I promise you, you will see the end of each one of your enemies. Each one of these wicked people, you see exactly where they end. So what are you worried about? You don't have patience to wait? Ra'iti rasha aritz umit'are ke'ezrach ra'anan. I saw an evil, wicked person, and he so far is solid like a strong tree that his roots are connected well. It's not shaking in the wind. You know, these massive trees. And the next day, it's gone. It's crushed. Yesterday, he was on the top of the world with his millions and his servants and his fame. And the next day, he's like a piece of a dead rat on the floor. How many times it happens here in front of our eyes here in America? You're on top of the world. The next day, the FBI puts handcuffs. All television abandons you. They put you in this orange pajama, and your life is over. How many times it happens? How many Jews felt it? How many great royal families ended up like that? How many people on top of the world, one day they found they have 2 months to live, cancer, they didn't know about it, and everything is gone. How many people had so much money and Madoff came and took it all? And they became beggars. They come to Tom Chai Shabbos for food. How many times? The answer, too many times. So the point is, it says clearly, yesterday was solid like a tree that is deep in the ground, and the next day is gone. No memory from it. I ask around, nobody even remember him. Nobody knows. Where is he? We don't know. He's gone. Shmor tam v're'e yashar, please observe their decent way, u're'e yashar, always look straight, don't be crooked, always aim straight. Ki acharit le'i shalom, because there is a hope in the end of a peaceful, righteous person. U'foshim nishmedu yachdav, and all the massive amount of wicked people will be all destroyed together. Don't worry about it. And acharit reshaim nichrata, the end of the wicked, will be destruction. Utshuat tzadikim mehashem ha'uzam be'etzara, and the salvation of the righteous from Hashem, he is their strength in time of problem. Ya'azrem Hashem ve'efaltem, Hashem will help them and release them and save them. יפלטם מרשעים ויושיעם כי חסובו. He will save them from the wicked and save them as they trusted him to do so. We finished chapter 37. Let's start chapter 38. So we saw a conclusion of chapter 37. 4 times he repeated the eternal reward of the next world. It's in the Tanakh. It's not in a newspaper, in case you didn't realize. It's the word of God, especially this Mizmor. Every time it starts with Le David, the Zohar say, it's a word of prophecy. Hashem spoke from his mouth, word by word. You understand? So we see here, Baruch Hashem, that basically is that the end of the wicked people is that they lose this eternal world. Now we are in chapter 38, and it says, let me give you a little bit of a summary of chapter 38. The chapter 38 is, this Mizmor is a screaming of a sick person that have a massive sickness and beg Hashem to save him. We need to know this Mizmor today more than any other Mizmor possibly. Why? Today, unfortunately, it's impossible to find a family that doesn't have someone sick among them. I'm talking family, I'm talking brothers, sisters, and their families, the entire family. In-laws, somebody in a family already got this horrible curse disease. It's an epidemic. And that's besides heart attacks and all kinds of other problems, liver problems, all kinds of other things. There's other things that it's depressions also. Depression is also a very serious problem. Person cannot function, cannot work. It's also a very serious sickness. So when a person has a massive sickness, right, there are a few chapters in Tehillim that refer to those people for refuah, for remedy. Like chapter 6 that we already read. It's very similar to chapter 38, this one, also chapter 13, also chapter 30. Many times people ask, which chapters in the Tehillim are good for my father that is very sick, for my uncle that is very sick? Which one? I repeat, chapter 6, chapter 13, chapter 30, chapter 38. Those are the mizmorim that are very good for sick people. There are a few more. But this mizmor is supposedly the best one out of it. What? It goes into details in the suffering of the sickness. The sickness is described like some kind of a skin cancer that is spreading in the skin. And it brings the person into physical weakness, fast heartbeat, the eyes getting darker. Also, the sick person complained that his internal organs are hurt and damaged. And he describes all his feelings in a time of horrible sickness. Let's see, you know, some of the things that this Mizmor has to say. The next four chapters in Tehillim, chapter 38 to 42, those are speaking about the suffering of a sinner, someone who made sins. And now Hashem chose to give him his punishments in this world, which is encouraging. Why? If Hashem won't punish him, and one day he die like that, then, you know, God forbid, he has no share to the world to come. But if Hashem send him the sickness right here, that means Hashem did not give up on him. He wants him to do tshuva. That's why he sends him the sickness here, to wake him up. So this mizmor is describing a massive pain, strong sadness, hard and deep thoughts about my sins. Not like some people in Judaism, they're trying to teach, always be in simcha. It's true that a Jew has to always be happy. But we have to make an addition to that. There is happy and there is happy. If a person is happy knowing he never makes sins, that's one level of happiness. If a person knows he's full of sins, you still have to be happy because Hashem wants everyone to be happy, otherwise you cannot keep mitzvot, you depress, you finished. But it's called gilu birada. It's a separate, it's a different happiness. It's not like the fools who dance on the street, you know. What are you dancing about? You have one reason in your life to dance about. You're not Shomer Shabbat. Your children are all like goyim. Every one of your children is in some kind of addiction. Your marriage looks horrible if there is a marriage left. Look at your health. Look at your belly. Look at your lifestyle. Look at your enemies in business. Look at the entire family, how much they hate you. Look at your problems with the whole world. Look at how many bad things you have in your life. Do you have one reason to laugh, one reason to smile? What reason you have? I don't get it. Sometimes I see people say, what is this person laughing about? Doesn't he understand how horrible his situation is? On the other hand, to sit and cry all day, where is it going to get you? So you have to be optimistic. You have to be optimistic, but at the same time, you must do tshuva. We are not Christians that we don't sell our listeners this nonsense that JC will take away your punishment and your suffering. There was a very tricky way out. Don't worry. JC will take the suffering of all of you. Just go talk to him, to the Father, make a confession, put $50 in a box, and the rest, it's wired to JC's account. He takes all the suffering, don't worry. There's only one problem. The Torah says the opposite. The Torah says Ish bechetoy yumat. Lo yumtu avot al banim. Nobody dies from someone else's sin. Nobody suffers from one other person's sin. You did bad, you're going to pay the price. That's all. You have a way out of it by doing tshuva. Let's see what's this, the meaning of the words of this Mizmor, chapter 38. Mizmor le David. We're back to Mizmor le David. The previous one was le David, because it was a prophecy from Hashem from his mouth. Now is Mizmor le David. What does it mean? David wrote it. Leazkir. What does it mean, Leazkir? To remind. To wake up the hearts of the people that they forget these things. Hashem, al beketzpecha tochicheni. Hashem, when you give me a snack to wake up, problems in life, losing money, sickness, whatever the problem that you sent me to wake me up, please try to do it with as much mercy as possible. Don't do it with full anger, because nothing will be left from me. Participate your mercy with your decision. Uvechamatcha teasreni. Don't send me the suffering out of anger. Father sometimes gets very angry at his kid and he punishes him from anger. Sometimes he's not angry at all, but he punishes him for education. Obviously, you know the reaction when a person is angry is much worse than when he's not angry. So the person is begging Hashem, please, when you give me what I deserve, please try to do it as much as possible with mercy. Ki chitzecha nichatu bi, because I feel now the arrows that you sent towards me are falling on me. Vatinchat alai yadecha. I feel the weight of your arm. You finally started to take care of me. I feel it, like some people write to me. Everything now is, in the last few months, is all goes off. Everything was nice. Now all of a sudden, this is happening and this is happening. They don't understand that the reason that it's happening, because if it would not happen, you'll be dead already. But the Satan is pushing for your death. And to keep him quiet in a court up there, Hashem has to move into becoming more strict with you. Because eventually there will be nothing left to answer to the Satan again for your protection. Because remember, it's a court. The judge cannot do whatever he wants. The judge has a pity on the defendant, but the prosecutor is showing proves and is pushing according to the law, and is right. The judge has to find a clever way to relax the prosecutor. The one way that he can relax the prosecutor is by telling him, I adjourned the case by 30 days, but these 30 days, I want him in rehab, I want him to suffer, I want a weekly report of what he has done, I want him to volunteer in between over there and to do this and to do that, I want him to pay a fine, and then we'll continue the trial in a month. So the prosecutor relaxed a little bit for another 30 days. Why? He got some punishments in the meantime. Okay, let's see. This is exactly what Hashem does. When the Satan says, I'm sorry, there's no more tolerance, I'm sorry, it's up to here. That's it, it cannot go on like that. The problem begins. Accident, problems, prostate, surgery, life risk, you get saved, but you all of a sudden feel, wow, Hashem is fuming probably. I better wake up. That's what it's all about. Your time did not come yet, or maybe yes, depending how you react. So he says, I feel that your hand landed on me. En metom bibsari mipne zaamcha. There's not one place in my body that is complete from your anger at me. En shalom be'atzamai mipnei chatati. I don't have one peaceful, complete bone left in my body from my sins. Ki avonotai avru roshi. Because my intentional sins, there were so many of them that they went above my head. me'al roshi. That's it. My sins all the way from my feet filled up my whole body, and now it's already up above my head. There's no more room to keep all these intentional sins. Kemasa kaved ichvedu mimeni. The weight of my sin is heavier than my whole weight, myself. If ishu namaku chaburotai mipnei ivalti. My wounds becoming rotten, pass, because of my stupidity. Look what I have done for myself. Na'aveti shachoti ad me'od. My body is bending down. I became down. I was forced, all my ego is down. I was on the top of the world. Look at me now, how I became. Shachoti, it's like siach, low plant. My head is down towards the ground. Kol hayom koder hilachti. All day I'm walking sad from my sins. I'm not dancing on the street. Lecha Rabbeinu Nagila. I'm doing tshuva and I'm sad and I'm broken. My heart is broken for the situation I brought myself to. Not everyone who's full of sins dance on the streets. What is this? You understand? Ki ksalai mal'u nikle. Ksalai, it's hips, motnaim. Mal'u nikle. They filled with all kinds of rash, like skin rash. En metom bibsari. Even my skin is incomplete. Which means there's not one inch of my skin that is now as it used to be. Not one even. Nefogoti venitketi ad meod. I lost all my energy, all my strength. I became so weak. Sha'agti minahamat libi. I scream to you from my broken. I scream to you from my broken heart. My heart is so broken. I'm not screaming from my mouth. There's two kinds of scream. Sometimes a person screams from his mouth, and sometimes he screams from his heart. When the scream comes from the heart, you know the situation is really desperate. How do you know if the scream comes from the heart or it's come from the mouth? You wait 10 seconds and you see later how the person continue. If after the scream, he goes right to his phone and business as usual and he smile and he talks, that was only from the mouth. But if after he scream, he sit for an hour like this, like that person, then you know it came from the heart. The heart is really broken. Hashem negdecha kol ta'avati. All my desires is revealed to you, in front of you. V'anchati mimcha lo nistara. And my scream from you, I know you cannot ignore it. You hear it. Libi schachar azavani kochi. My heart is full of agony. Sar mimeni kochi. All my strength is gone. Ve'or enai gam em eniti. And the light of my eyes, the light of the eyes is the life of a person. Once the eyes become black and dark, then a person loses life. Or enai gam emeniti. The light of my eyes is gone as well. O avai verei mineged nigi amodu. My lovers and my friends. My lovers and my friends. Those my lovers and my friends standing in front of me, and they run away from me from the way they see me. They're afraid to come near me. Even my relatives are going far away from me when they see my situation. Those who wants my soul, those who wants to kill me, continue with a plan. They're not leaving, they're not letting go. And those who are my enemies continue to lie about me. ומרמות כל היום יהגו. All day one lie after the other. ואני כחרש לא אשמע. I'm deaf. I can't hear. I'm deaf. וכאילם לא יפתח פיו. Like mute. I won't even open my mouth to answer. והיא כאיש אשר לא שומע. I became a person that cannot hear. ואין בפי תוכחות. I cannot even open my mouth to prove that I'm not guilty. כי לך השם אוכלתי. I'm on a point right now of total desperation. The only thing I have left is my hopes that you will answer me and save me. Nothing else. I don't talk. I don't answer. I don't fight to prove that I'm innocent. Nothing. Whatever they say, I don't care anymore. It's basically the bottom of the bottom. כי אמרתי, פן ישמחו לי במות רגלי עליי הגדילו. That I ask you, Hashem, don't let my enemies rejoice when they see me collapsing. כי אני לצלע נכון, because I'm already very close to a failure, ומחובי נגדי תמיד, and my pain is always in front of me. I can't ignore my pain for a second. כי אבוני אגיד, I will reveal my sin, I will make confession, אדאג מחטאתי, and I'm worried about my sins. ואויביי חיים עצמו, and my enemies, they're already not young, they also like already had long life. ורבו שונאי שקר, too many people hates me for nothing and you know it. ומשלמי רעה תחת טובה, those who pay bad for good, the ungrateful people, הסתנוני תחת רודפי טוב, they cannot stand me because they cannot stand me knowing all I did is wish them well. In the previous mizmor, in last week, I said that he was praying for Achitofel, for his son Avshalom, for all these people. And in the end, they stabbed the knife in his back. They betrayed him. So he described the pain from your friends and relatives when they go against you in the end, after you trusted them and told them all your secrets, they wish for your destruction is much more painful than a stranger who fights against you. So he's continuing on the same line. Al tazveni Hashem, don't leave me Hashem. Elohai al tirchak mimeni, my God, do not go away from me. Chusha leezrati Hashem, teshuati. Hurry to help me. You are Hashem, my salvation. We finished chapter 38. We have time for one more chapter, Baruch Hashem. We can do chapter 39 now. Chapter 39, let's give a summary of it. It's a prayer of a person that is feeling horrible suffering, pain, high fever, cannot talk. And on top of his sickness, there are people who continue to fight against him. So basically, it's a continuation from what we just left, from this mizmor. In the beginning, the sick person wanted to tolerate his sickness with silence. Maybe he will say something he's not supposed to say. But then he couldn't hold his words anymore. And from the pain, he started to talk about how short is the life of a person and came to the conclusion that the entire life is hevel avalim, all nonsense. How many things we run after, but it's really nothing. So he finished in his mind that he doesn't have any hope besides Hashem. And he started to ask Hashem to repent for his sins and to cure him from his sickness. The situation of the sick person in this mizmor similar to the situation of Yov, the prophet Yov. Yov also was silent in the beginning when the suffering started to come to him. But then later, he could not take the pain anymore and started to complain. And his friends translated his complaining to Hashem as, Chas v'Shalom, someone who speaks harsh and complain that Hashem is giving him what he doesn't deserve. And they started to speak negative about Iyov, because what kind of a righteous person you are that you speak against Hashem because he sends you some sickness and pain. So this Mizmor 39, this Mizmor that David wrote, he dedicated that to Yedutun HaLevi. Yedutun, he was one Levi that sang in Bet HaMikdash. David, as you know, prepared the foundation of the first temple and his son Shlomo built it. Yedutun was one of the singers in a choir. The Levim, the Levites, were singing in a choir in a holy temple. David divided the Levites, the Levim, to 24 shifts that sings in Bet HaMikdash. He took them from six groups and he stood from them. There are six groups. This Yedutun was in charge of these six groups. Each one of them, one of his sons was in charge. He was on top of everything, but each one of his sons was in charge of six of those shifts, of those groups. And they used to play violin. They used to play violin. And in this Mizmor, we have a few words like Ne'elamti Dumia, Echsheti Mitov, which it means, what does it mean, Dmama? Someone that stopped to talk. He stopped to talk. And what does it mean, echsheti? What's the difference between damamti to echsheti? Both of them, I became silent. But damamti means someone that was talking and stopped. Echsheti means someone that never talked before. El dimati al techerash. Don't be silenced when you see my tears falling, meaning the gate of tears never got locked, like all the other gates in heaven. Veterem elech ve'eneni, and before I'm gone from this world, when I won't be able to do mitzvot anymore, it's similar to what the Grad, the Gaon Mivilna, cried before he died. He was holding a pair of tzitzit 200 and something years ago. And they say, Rabbi, why are you crying? And he said, I'm living a world that for few dollars, few rubles, you can do every second a mitzvah. Once I'm dead, that's it. I cannot accumulate more mitzvot. How can I not cry? So this is the negative part of dying, even for the righteous people. Even if they go to heaven, they always have this feeling, imagine if I live another year. I could do another 100 million mitzvot this year, teaching Torah, making more Jews religious, praying more, reading Tehillim more, learning more Torah, giving more tzedakah. Everything adds up to millions of mitzvot. Why? I wish I want to live another year. Give me one more year, another 10 million mitzvot. But obviously, eventually, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Lach, Moshe begged to enter Israel to keep some more mitzvot in the Holy Land. Hashem told him, Rav Lach, you're set for life, relax. You're in a very high level. There's really no end to the levels. Which means, even if you're the highest level, there's still levels above you. So in other words, it's not like a ceiling. You go in another floor, and another floor, and you get to the roof. No. When it comes to spirituality, there's no end how much pleasure Hashem can give a person. It can be better and better and better and better and better until tomorrow. It's no end to it. So let's see what this Mizmor has to teach us. Lamnatzeach li'idutun. This Mizmor, as I say, dedicated to Yedutun de Levi. Mizmor le David, that David wrote. Amarti yeshmerad drachai. I say, I will observe my ways. Milachto bilshoni. From sinning with my tongue. Meaning lashonara, gossip. Eshmera lepi machsom, I will put a block on my mouth. You know, like they put bars by the dogs. They have this that they won't bite. Maybe it's a bad thing. I put a piece of tape or something on my mouth. If I cannot speak lashon hara, I put some kind of jaw holders that I cannot open my mouth. Better I'll be like that than to continue to speak bad. Be'od rasha le'negdi, especially when I see the wicked people, it makes me fuming. I cannot hold my mouth. Better I lock my mouth. When I was in kindergarten, when I was 4 years old, I remember my, the woman that was in charge. What's the name of her? In a kindergarten. She wasn't a teacher. It was, you know. So she used to tell me, she goes like this. She took her hands. She say like this. Three transactions. I never forget that. First, zip your mouth. Lock it and throw the key to the ocean and stay like this all year. How long the lock was standing? Less than a second. But the idea was, I wonder if she's still alive 40 years ago. So the idea here that he says right here, he says that I thought to myself, maybe I lock my mouth, especially when I see these wicked people in front of me. Ne'elamti dumia, echesheti mitov. I'm silent. Dumia, like I told you, dmama means someone that was talking and stopped to talk. Echesheti mitov. So echesheti means someone who never talked. Echesheti. Ne'elamti bedumia, it's in general, I became silent. Echesheti mitov. I'm not going to speak anything, even good. Ve'kevi ne'echar, my pain is constantly growing. Cham libi bekirbi, I feel heat inside my heart. Bahagigi tivar esh, when I check around what's going on, I'm boiling like fire, fire boiling inside of me. Dibarti bilshoni, from talking in my mouth. Odieni Hashem kitzi, I say Hashem, please tell me the end of my suffering. Umidat yamai mahi, and when will I die? The Gemara says that when David said to Hashem, please tell me the day I'll die. I can't take the pain anymore. As we know, it was hot in bed. He was 7 years old. And he was freezing, shaking. So he asked Hashem, tell me where my end would be. What day will I die? And Hashem said to him, Galui ve'yadu alefanai she'en ani megale le'adam basar v'adam midat yamav. I'm not teaching, it's a rule by me. I'm not teaching any human, I'm not telling any human being the day he will die. Why? Because it will eliminate his free choice. If you're 20 now, and you knew that you live until 96, what's the rush to be righteous? Let me make sense, I have a guarantee. I have 76 more years to worry about it. I do whatever I want. When I become 95, I begin to be tzaddik. First of all, I take all the millions I stole and give it to yeshivot. So you see, Hashem, I didn't steal for myself. So you can't blame me. Okay, next thing, what? It's strictly kosher, comes to the yeshiva, don't leave the yeshiva, don't go home. Bring a mattress, sleeping in a corner on the floor. 1 year, don't leave the yeshiva. All day and all night, learning, giving tzedakot, helping, doing, holidays. One perfect year. Makom shetzadikim omdim, shebaale tshuva omdim, afilu tzadikim murim enam omdim. I become the biggest baal tshuva. Cry all day with Tehillim for my sins. Wonderful. No, so what Hashem gave you now extra 90 years? He could skip you right away to 95. What's the point? So the point is that Hashem never tell a person exactly when he'll die. However, David said to Hashem, okay, at least tell me the day of the week. And Hashem told him it will be on Shabbat. And he said, from all the days of the week, Dafka on Shabbat, you made it. You want these Jews to ruin their Shabbat, that they have to take care of my body, and my body will be muktzeh, cannot move it, everyone will be upset. You cannot give me one more day to live. It will be so horrible to keep me until the following Sunday. Hashem say, that Sunday, the kingdom of your son Shlomo has to start. And he cannot be two kings. Once he's still alive, he cannot be king in your life. And I need you to leave this world, not to hurt the honor of you as the king. Once you died, your son takes your place. So he said, okay, you know what? So take me on Friday. I give up a day of my life. Take me on Friday. I don't want to die on Shabbat. So he said to him, is it so simple to you to lose a day of your life? One day of your life that you learn Torah in front of me, it's better to me than 1,000 sacrifices that your son Shlomo will bring to me in a new temple. And you want to give up one day of learning Torah? So what do you think? So the idea here that David say, you know what I'm going to do? I know every Shabbat now when the angel of death come to kill you, if you learn Torah, he cannot come near you. I learn. Whenever he comes to take my soul, he can't. He's afraid. So every Shabbat, he was just sitting and learning nonstop. Doesn't move from the book. The angel of death comes. They say, I can't take his soul out. And so what am I going to do? I have to trick him somehow. He came back to next to his window outside. He made a noise like someone just fell from the stairs. Oi! You know, by instinct, he jumped to the window. As soon as he left the book, he fell and died. And that was the end of him. Age 70. These 7 years he got from Adam HaRishon, it was supposed to be a miscarriage. He got it from Adam HaRishon that realized that the only way to repent from eating from the tree is when Mashiach comes. And he knew that Mashiach can only come from David. Mashiach ben David. If David would die as a miscarriage, Mashiach would never come. Adam would never stop suffering. So what happened? He donated 7 years of his life. Later he regretted it. When he became 930 years old and he was supposed to die, he regrets that he gave. He wanted it back. But Hashem told him it's already too late. David already got it. So he says here, David said to Hashem, Odieni Hashem kitzi, tell me the end of my suffering, umidati amai mai, when will I die? What's the length of my life? Edeam mechadel ani, that I'll know when I'm going to get rid of the suffering. Hine tfachot natata yamai, here har tfachim, tefach, it's the size of the hands, like maybe 4 inches. 4 inch, 10 centimeters, something like that. In et fachot natata yamai, you're measuring my days with, like they measure with fachim. That's how they used to measure, 1, 2, 3, like that. Vecheldi ke'ayin egdecha. What's cheldi? Cheldi means my existence. My existence ke'ayin egdecha. It's nothing compared to you. Who am I? Ach kol hevel, kol adam nitzav sela. Even though life is all real, one big nonsense. What is it? But still, it's standing in front of you. Ach betzelem italech ish. The life of a person fly like the shed. You know, the shed, you come in the morning, you look at the sidewalk, oh, this side of the sidewalk, it's not sunny. Let's walk on that side. Hot day. And I walk on Shabbat in Florida, I was there. Hollywood. It's a sauna over there. 97% humidity. You know? Like taking a shower when you walk in the street. So in the morning, early in the morning, the sun is not so strong, but over there it's already boiling in the morning already. But I looked which side of the street has shed. That I can go there. Not that it helps so much, but the suffering a little bit less. But before you realize, I walk 5 minutes, already the sun came to that side also. That's how quick the life of a person is gone. Before you realize, you see a little shade here, up, sun got you already. That's what he writes here. He writes, Ach betzelem italech ish, person walks in a shed, before he realizes he's gone. That's how his life flies. Ach hevel yehemayun. A person is attracted only to nonsense. Sport, jewelry, clothing, cars, honor, respect, you know. But alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, all kinds of bad things. It's bo velo yedama mi osfam. Person gather more and more and more wealth and has no idea who will take it away. It will be his kids, will be Obama, will be the FBI, who knows. ואתה מה קיוויתי השם, and now what am I hoping for השם? תאכלתי לחי, all my hopes are up to you. מכל פשעי הצילני, all I want is you clean me from my sin, from my crimes. What sins did he have? None, that's the whole point here. Look at this whole Tehillim, none, stop. Save me from my crimes, save me from my sins, save me from my crimes. His entire life, one incident. And it wasn't a sin. The Gemara says, Kol ha'omer David chata eino ela toe. What? The act with Bathsheba, she was his shiduch. It didn't look good, but it wasn't a sin. So much crying and begging for one transaction. What about us? When are we going to remember to begin to cry and to beg for repentance? Cherpat Naval al tesimeni, the embarrassment of Naval. What's the right word for Naval? Naval. Naval means a despicable person. Yeah, that's the right word. Don't let me end with the shame of a despicable, arrogant person. Ne'elamti lo eftach pi, I was forcing myself not to talk. Ki ata asita, because you are the one who gives me the suffering. How can I talk? Somebody has a different story, but I know it's from you. Aser me'alai nigecha, pass your strikes away from me. Mitigrat yadcha nikaliti, from the heat of your hand, I'm getting destroyed. Betochachot al avon isarta ish. Because if you get punished for sins, when you punish the person, vatemes ka'ash chamudo, you crush him, like you take a cookie and crush it to crumbs, or ketolat amechala et machmadav, or like the worms eat the sweaters. You know how the worms like to eat the wool? You come, you see holes always in sweater. Where these holes come from? That's why in Israel they have something that called naphtalene. The only problem is the smell of it is so bad, better the worms eat the sweater than you smell it in your closet. But for whatever reason, it makes them go away. You know? Achevel kol adam sela. Achevel, the nonsense of every human being will remain forever. Olam keminago noeg. The world as usual. Shimaat filati Hashem, listen to my praise Hashem, to my prayers. Veshavati aazina el dimati al techerash, listen to my scream that come from my heart. Do not be silent to my tears. Ki ger anochi imach, I'm like a ger, resident. I only temporary residence in your world. Who am I? Toshav kechol avotai. I am a resident like all my fathers who passed. Hosha mimeni ve'avliga, remove all my worry and my stress that I can overcome them. Beterem elech ve'eneni, before I die and nothing will be left from me. We finish chapter 39, and with your permission, let's do it 40. We have 10 more minutes left. We'll be do it in 10 minutes. Chapter 40, we'll give it a little summary about chapter 40. It has two parts. First part, thanking Hashem for the salvation of before. And that part is speaking story about the salvation, singing praises, and thanking Hashem by keeping Torah. And the second part of the Mizmor is praying for salvation of the present problem. I'm thanking you for the past while I'm actually begging you to save me from my current problem. We have it a lot in our life. When we pray to Hashem, Hashem, I know a year ago you saved me from that problem, and don't think I don't appreciate it. Don't think I'm ungrateful. I appreciate, maybe I didn't thank you enough. Why are you saying all this? Because you're thinking, why Hashem sent me another problem now? Maybe it's not satisfied from the way I handled the great salvation that he had for me. So now you begin to thank now. Oh, don't think I'm not appreciating it. You know, when it's a common thing, somebody did a big favor to you, you didn't even bother to say thank you to him. But a few months later, you need another favor from him, but now you're embarrassed to call. Because I didn't even say thank you to this guy. What am I going to do? So you call first time. You say, hey, Moshe, how are you? Oh, yeah, it's you. You say, hey, you know, I just realized that this favor that you did to me, did I ever tell you thank you? I don't remember. Remind me. Say, no, actually, I'm sitting 3 months and waiting for that thank you. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You know, I appreciate it so much. I mean, I told everyone. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you how much I appreciate it. I'm so sorry. Okay, listen, I'm sending you now chocolates and this and a bottle of whiskey. But he doesn't tell him anything about the new favor that he needs. First, he waits until he gets the whiskey and the flowers or whatever, the chocolate. Wait a few days. Now Moshe is happy. Ah, finally. Then he says, hey, Moshe, by the way, since you're such a nice guy, maybe you can help me on my new problem. You understand how it works? This is how we come in front of Hashem. Oh, by the way, you know, last time, don't think I don't appreciate it. After, you know, you, or then he said, now when I have another problem, Hashem, please help like you did before. That's a summary of this chapter. The first 12 verses were written when David was in a situation of big happiness, very big happiness. From there on, his problem began, and he needed a salvation. The difference between this, when it says Mizmor le David, le ben le David Mizmor, what's the difference? When it says Mizmor le David, it means that this prayer was saying to elevate David himself spiritually. And when it says le David Mizmor, it was written when David was already high spiritually. Do you understand? Mizmor le David, I'm writing it as I'm writing to you a song, it elevates my soul. I'm talking to you and I'm opening my heart to you. There's nothing that can make me closer to you. But there's a different kind of song that I feel I'm on the top of the world when it comes to spirituality. I see your light. I also feel like I'm writing to you from the moment that I'm in. There's not that many moments like this in the life of a person. So when a person reaches that level, he has to appreciate what he has. Let's see what this Mizmor is teaching us. Lamnatzeach le David Mizmor. Remember, not Mizmor le David Mizmor. Kavo kiviti Hashem. I always trust Hashem again and again, always. Vayet elai vayishma shavati. And he always listens to me and always he listens to my prayers. Vayaleni mibor sha'on mitita yaven. He took me out from the pit that I was in, the hole, and from tita yaven, from a thick mud that I was stuck in. This one I just told you, it's a literal explanation. But there is a hidden secret here. Bor, it's the first place in Gehenom. The top place in Gehenom called Bor. Tita Yaven, it's the third or the fourth one. I have to look at the list. Tita Yaven, it's another place in Gehenom. There are different places. Bor, Sheol, Tita Yaven, Salmavet, the Tachtit Haaretz. There's different places in Gehenom. So David is saying, first you saved me from falling into first place in hell. There's specific kinds of problems over there, sins. Then you saved me from a place which is even worse, Tita Yaven. The lower the place here in hell, in Gehenom, the worse the punishments are. So Bor is the top one. Tita Yaven is below. It's even worse. Vayakem al sela raglai. You put my legs on a solid place, konen ashurai, and make my strength, my steps solid. Vayiten befi shir chadash, you put a new song in my mouth, tehila le'elohenu, praising our God. Iru rabim ve'irau, many, many people will see and will fear and will trust Hashem, ve'iftechu be'Hashem. Ashrei ha'gever asher sam Hashem iftacho. How lucky is the person that puts his confidence in Hashem, ve'lo pana el re'avim ve'satei kazav, that all his trust and confidence is only in Hashem. And he did not go to the show of people who talks non-stop and do nothing. Very good that you did not trust these losers. Ve'satei chazav, satei comes from the word sote, isha sota, that went off the derech, off the way, off the right way. Don't go to these loser liars that they will say any kind of lie to make themselves look important. Today, he can be referring to the most wicked people in the world, and he can go to some people that call themselves rabbis. Why do you think they got the job? To help you? No. Some of them got the job to live good, to get the salary, and to do all kinds of things, which other job will not allow them. That's why they always have time. I don't know how they have time. I said that before. Even a rabbi of a small community doesn't have a minute of rest. So much to do. If you have only 100 people in your community, already so much work. This kid in problem, funeral, bar mitzvah, shiurim, women classes, men classes, preparing kids for bar mitzvah, someone is in hospital to visit him, ordering matzot for the community, check ashgachot, answering personal issues. So many things. Ma. Where do you have time to breathe? How do you have time to even work, to have a business? It's not possible. And I'm talking a small community, not to talk someone that has millions of people constantly approaching him nonstop. You understand? So it says, trust Hashem, don't trust people. That's what a mistake of many people. Then you trust people and you get disappointed. Who do you take your anger out on? On Hashem. Rabot asita ata Hashem Elokai nifleotecha. Many things you did for me, Hashem, my God. Your wonders and your the depth of your wisdom to us cannot be described by words. En aroch elecha. We can't even say the right words to evaluate you enough. Agida v'adabera. There's no way for me to say or to even to describe it. Atzemu misaper. They're so great. Words cannot describe. There are things in life that words cannot describe. Can't. You can't describe Hashem in words. You're going to start talking now, and in a million years, you didn't describe one tiny percent of his greatness. So how you, that's what the Gemara say. The Gemara say, when you pray, only say the text of the prayers and don't add your own praises. Why? Because if you begin to add from your own, you're going to need to continue until you die. You're never going to finish the list. Because now you actually decrease from the honor of Hashem. If Hashem has billions of titles and you only added five more, he's going to tell you, what about all the others? That's all I am for you, five? Better not to start. You understand? So it says like this. Zevach u'mincha lo chafatzta. Zevach means sacrifices. Mincha, it's gifts to Beit HaMikdash they used to give. I know that's not what you want. You need me to sacrifice, to bring gifts. Oznaim karita li. Your ears are open to listen to me. Ola v'chata'a lo sha'alta. You didn't ask me to sacrifice anything for you. You made it easy for me. Az amarti, hine bati b'mgilat sefer katuv alai. Then I say to myself, here I comes in front of you with a book of Torah in my hand, katuv alai. Meaning, every word over here that's written in a Torah, it's written also in my heart. meaning my thank you to me, to you, my thank you to me, to you, is that I'm thanking you not by bringing you a sheep or a gift or all kinds of things like that. No. My thank you that I'm thanking you today is that I'm listening to you and learning Torah, and I know you love it the most. That's my thank you to me. I want to thank you, go to the yeshiva. Don't make a Bukharian party, $200,000, to thank Hashem that your son is not sick anymore. That's the last thing he needs. Bringing people, dancing, Siman Tov, Mazal Tov, everyone come, make L'chaim, toast, enough. Come to the yeshiva, say, how many guys learn here? How much you make a month? 500? How many you have here? 20? 20 times 5, $10,000, here is $10,000. 1 month you learn Torah, that's my thank you to Hashem. Billion times better than the 200,000 fancy party. And the nice raw smoked fish, and the steaks, and this kind, and then that kind, and all this show off. Who needs all this? You want to say a speech? That I just want to say thank you to Hashem, write a beautiful speech, send it by email. I'll get to millions of people. People, ask people, forward please. That's the miracle Hashem made me. It will cost you one penny. Not even. Email doesn't even cost a penny. You can praise Hashem in a cheap way. You don't need $200,000 for that. You want to spend money on food? Whiskey? Better you spend money on Torah. But the best is, that he also joined the people that learned Torah. This is what he writes here. My thank you to you is not all these gifts. What am I doing? I can tell you that every word of your Torah is written on my heart, on me. It's written in me. That's my thank you. That's what you want. What else do you want? La'asot retzoncha Elohai chafatzti. My only desire is to do your wishes. Two people wrote it that I know of. One is David HaMelech. Do you know who the second person who wrote to Hashem a letter that he wants to do his wish? Huh? Who is the second person? I give you a hint. He's in our generation, still alive. I'll give you another hint. In the last 24 hours, he sit home, depressed and upset, and eat his heart. Huh? No, someone here in America. Barack Obama. Why is he eating his heart? Because Netanyahu won again. After he invested so much money by the liberal Jews, the Jew haters, that will give all Israel to the Arab, and they pumping money to their election, they lost again. He doesn't know what to do anymore. The 2 years that he had to destroy Israel, according to his plan, he will not be able to do it, because here is the bone in his neck again. Obama, Netanyahu. But Obama, when he got elected, he came to the Western world and he wrote on a note, "Dear God, make me a tool to do your wish." There's a little bit of a difference between how he fulfilled Hashem's wishes to how David HaMelech fulfilled his wishes. Amevin yavin. La'asot retzoncha Elohai chafatzti. All I want is to do your wish. V'toratcha betoch me'ai. Your Torah is absorbed inside my stomach. Like food absorbed inside and it creates energy. Bisarti tzedek be'kaal rav. I inform your righteousness in a huge audience. In esfatai lo echle. Here, I will not prevent my lips to say one word. Everything, I'll say everything. Hashem atay adata, and God, you know it. I'm not telling you stories. Tzidkatcha lo chisiti, your righteousness, I never dare to cover it. Betoch libi, it's solid inside my heart. It's like an integral part of my heart. Emunatcha utshuatcha amarti. I speak about your loyalty. I speak about your salvation. Lo kichadeti chasdecha. I did not cover your kindness. Ve'amitcha lekaal rav. And your truth, your honesty to a great nation. Ata Hashem lo tichla rachamecha mimeni. You, God, will never prevent your mercy from me. Hasdecha v'amitcha tamid itzruni. Your kindness and your truth always reserve me. Ki afefu alai ra'ot ad en mispar. There are so many problems around me that I cannot even count how many. Isiguni avonotai. My sins are now already reaching to me. I mean, meaning the punishments for that. Ve'lo yacholti lirot, until I cannot see. Atzmu misa'arot roshi, that I have more problems than hair on my head, and he wasn't bald, in case you think. Even if he was bald, it's plenty of hair here and here and here in the back. It's already plenty of problem. Ve'libi azavani, ve'libi azavani, my heart is coming out of my skin. Re'e Hashem la'atzileni, Hashem, please agree to save me. Le'ezrati chusha, come to help me. Yevoshu ve'yachperu yachad mevakshen nafshi, those who comes after me should be shame for running after me. Lispota, to destroy them from the face of the earth. Isogu achor, they will run back. Ve'ikalmu chafetzei ra'ati, and should be ashamed those who ask for problems for me. Yashomu al ekev boshtam, they will be empty-handed. Ve'achzeru al ikvoteim, and they return in the same way they came from, with huge shame. Ha'omrim li e'ach e'ach, they tell me, Hooray, hooray. Yasisu v'ismechu becha kol mevakshecha. Those who were planning to make a party when they see me dead, yasisu v'ismechu becha kol mevakshecha. Instead of them being happy, I and the people who search for you and love you, they are the ones that should be happy. Yomru tamid igdal Hashem o'avei tshuatecha. They will always say, the name of Hashem should be greater and praised to those who love and expect your salvation. V'ani ani ve'evyon, and I am weak and helpless. Hashem, yachashov li, I know Hashem, you supervise me, ezrati u'mefalti ata, you are my help, you are my savior, Elohai al te'achar. Please do not delay your action, do not delay your salvation. We finished Baruch Hashem 4 chapters today, and we are up to chapter 41, which is very good progress. We're getting also close to Pesach, so I believe we have only 2 more Wednesday until we go off for a few weeks. So Bezrat Hashem, try to make it next Wednesday and the following Wednesday. Don't miss it. This shiur is very popular on the internet. I wish it would be more popular in the neighborhood here, but it's very popular in the world. Many people, I get email even from Ghana, from Africa about it. It's amazing how far it goes. Because remember, you have to know one thing. Many people enter to Google Psalms. They put Psalms, they want to read specific thing. Now, how does it come on the first page? The websites that are the most popular in the world, they will come the first. Websites that are not so popular will come on the second, 10, 20 page. The more popular you are, you come on the first page. And Baruch Hashem, my website is so popular that usually always it comes on the first row, top of the first page. So as soon as somebody in the world puts any kind of word, life after death, God, Judaism, Psalms, whatever they put, usually the website comes right away, which makes it very popular because people didn't plan to listen to this lecture. But you know how it is. They click on it and they begin to listen 5 minutes. Oh, that's very interesting. They will explain to me the whole chapter. And then I go into the website and a month later they Shomer Shabbat. And if it's a goy, I get an email, would you help me to convert? And you will have a share in it for attending the lectures. I just hope there will be more people that have that share. But at least you got lucky. Baruch Adonai le'olam, amen ve'amen.